Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports webcast and podcast with me, Brad Locke, and co-host Gene Phelps. It's a new episode on this Wednesday, the 30th of March. Gene, how you doing?
Oh, I wish we were doing this on April Fool's Day.
Well, I know we had the same discussion on the Memo podcast earlier.
Oh, okay.
That we won't have an episode on April 1st, which is too bad. We could really come up with some
crazy humdinger stories. Y'all might really fool somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Or be fools.
New football coach at Tupelo High. No. Yeah, stuff like
what?
That.
What?
So anyway, thanks for watching and or listening. We got plenty to talk about today. Need to remind you to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Send us an email with your thoughts or comments. That's at Prep Rally. That's Prep Rally at JournalInc.com. We got a lot to talk about, some basketball, a little bit of football news, athletes of the week. First, let's just touch real quick on all area soccer, Gene. That ran this past Sunday in the Journal.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah, we had the players of the year, coaches of the year, boys player of the year, Logan Little of Tupelo, girls player of the year, Allie Houghton of Lafayette. That's 2 years in a row for her, isn't it, Gene?
Yeah, she scored 245 career goals. So
state leader in career goals.
All time. And,
yeah.
And she's an Ole Miss signee. Okay. And was a senior this year and a forward. She'd probably play keeper and have success.
Wow.
She's really a great soccer player.
Yeah.
And so it was easy to make her player of the year.
Boys coach of the year, Nathan Clayton at Amory, and girls coach of the year, Hunter Crane, who led Oxford to the 5-8 state championship in his first year as head coach. So if you missed any of that coverage, go check it out in Sunday's Journal and at djournal.com. Gene, let's talk some hoopage. We speaking of all area.
Hoopington.
We've got all area basketball coming soon. It could run this Sunday. Might run the next Sunday.
And it could not.
Yeah.
April Fool.
Well, the way things are in newspaper business, you got to have room. You don't know until like the day before.
Correct.
For a Sunday, if you're going to have enough space for everything and news happens and things change. But going to try to get it in very soon.
Yeah, a lot of times these teams require two open pages.
Yeah, exactly.
We have four stories and then pictures and portrait shots and mug shots and bios and
all that stuff. A lot of good info, and I've seen the pictures, and they're fantastic. Not going to tell you who the pictures are of because we don't want to give away too much of who's player of the year and who's on the team. But we can talk about some of the top players because, I mean, people who follow, it's going to be no surprise who we talk about. So it's not like we're giving anything away in that respect. I mean, you've got players like, let's start with the boys, okay? I've got guys like Trey Jenkins at Tupelo. I've got Antares Gwynn at Corinth.
Madarius Hobson
at Holka. I mean, if you wanted to put together a first team, you're a fan, you could probably, you'll probably get pretty close
to
what we
have. It's been tough for me to pick. I think I've got my selections down. I know some people will be upset. Yeah. I know last year on the boys' side, one of our former writers, Brandon Speck, picked a team, and we actually had more players last year. We picked 20 players, four teams instead of three teams, 15 players.
Right.
So we were trying to honor a few more players, and we still caught some flack. So, that's going to happen. That's just going to happen. And it's all subjective. We do it for fun and to honor these kids.
Right, right.
That's and what it's we're not doing it to leave somebody off or to hurt somebody's psyche.
Right.
Or say that you didn't have a good year as opposed to another player.
Yeah, it's mainly to honor these really good players, and a lot of work goes into it. I mean, you're talking to a lot of coaches. I mean, you're using your own knowledge, having seen these kids play, but you can't see everybody all the time, so you try to talk to coaches and other people who have a good idea.
Talk about the selection process.
Sure, sure.
I don't talk with every coach in the area.
Right.
And a lot of times the coaches, bless their hearts, they're going to nominate seniors ahead of underclassmen who do well and things like that. What I do is when I talk with coaches and I seek them out, not all of them, and I just ask them, who have you seen besides somebody on your team? And then I talked with some other, there's some other basketball people around here, and I won't get their names involved, that I also consult, that sure. go to a lot of ball games and watch a lot of basketball in Northeast Mississippi, kind of get their opinions on it too. And I trust their opinions.
Yeah.
And of course I use my own eyeballs at certain people, and you don't have to score 40 a game to be player of the year.
No.
It's just a lot of things factor into it. Sometimes it can be somebody who we think may have helped their team the most. And of course there's somebody like that on every team also.
Sure.
But, yeah, that's the process. And I do take nominations. If a coach wants to nominate, they can.
Yeah.
That's not required. And we just, you know, it'd just be too many to go through. I've even talked with coaches. They'd like a smaller team. I had one coach say he wished we'd just pick 10.
Yeah.
He said picking 15 and 20 dilutes it. And we talked about that.
Certainly. You know? And because you see some of these all division teams that are kind of ridiculous about how many people they pick. Or for instance, the SEC coaches basketball team, the first team has like 8 players, which you can't put but 5 on the court. So it's a little bit. A little bit of overrepresentation there, but you know, we got 4 teams again this year, 5 on each team, so 20 players. It's a good number. I mean, basketball is pretty strong in this area, so right. I don't think right. that's too diluted.
And I'm not going to do an honorable mention, because then I would have to get in touch with all the schools yeah. because everybody has an honorable mention. Every team had somebody who was a leader, even on a team maybe that didn't win but 1 or 2 games, had that one or two kids maybe who stepped up. And played really well, and it might be deserving of some mention. I just, even if I did that, I would leave somebody out still.
Yeah. You know, I used to cover the high school beat here at the Journal, so I've picked my share of all area teams. It's not easy, especially once you get, I mean, the first team almost picks itself most years. After that, it gets really tough. I'm guessing that was the toughest part this year, Gene.
Yeah, I mean, you look, and I try not to look at scoring averages and things, and so you start saying, well, is a player at X school who's averaging 18 a game better than a player at the other school averaging 17.8 a game?
Yeah.
You know, so then you look at other stats, and if you wanted to look at stats, I just kind of go by what people tell me, what I've seen, and you can usually figure out every team, like I said, has a star.
Yeah.
Every good team has 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, teams get like Trey Jenkins.
Yeah.
Trey Jenkins' numbers won't bowl you over, but if you saw Tupelo play, you know, on a team of really good players, and they had a lot, he was probably the best of that group.
Yeah. And they had a really great season, too. Yeah. So anyway, look for the all area basketball team coming soon to the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Gene, let's talk a little bit of football. Why don't we? It's March, so let's talk football. It's never a bad time of year to talk football, Gene. Coaching carousel news over in Nettleton. Ken Topps, the offensive coordinator there, has been promoted to head coach. And if you know anything about high school football around here, you know the name Ken Topps. He actually replaces Mike Scott, who was there, I believe, 4 years at the Nettleton.
Yeah.
Mike Scott was coach at Shannon and coached Ken Topps, who played a quarterback for the Red Raiders several years ago. In fact, you've got a story coming.
I do. It will run in Thursday's paper.
What's the focus there?
The focus there, number one, is I know the brief that we had over the weekend when the news came out. I didn't want it to go by without us writing a little more or giving you a little bit more information on Mike Scott and his career.
Yeah.
And so I talked with Mike and I talked with Ken.
Okay.
For this story. And, I found out I thought Mike coached a lot longer, but he's been in administration a long time too. He was 15 years at Shannon as a football coach, won a state championship with Merrill Miller in 1996,
yep.
Went back in 99 with Topps as a sophomore quarterback, lost to Forrest in the championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mike, 4 years ago, took the Nettleton job, went 6-6 in his second year, 6-5, got in the playoffs. They lost in the first round.
Right.
That was his best season there. But, you know, Mike's 60 years old. I know how he feels. he said it's a young man's game, and it was time for him to step aside. He's looking at some other interest as far as employment. He said nothing's definite yet, so he didn't want to say, but he just thought it was time to give it up. And he's glad they picked Ken because he thinks Ken is very deserving.
Yeah.
And says has a really good football mind, and he thinks if anybody can turn around Nettleton's football program, it would be Ken.
And we'll get to that specifically in a moment about Nettleton's recent struggles. But Ken Topps, he said, Mike Scott said it's a young man's game. Ken Topps is probably in his early 30s by
32.
Now.
32.
Okay. Ken, for those who might remember, again, he played a quarterback for Shannon from 99 to 01. He was the starting quarterback, and I remember seeing him play. It must have been the 99 season. I was working for the Oxford Eagle at the time. I was in school, and I was covering Water Valley football, and they played Shannon one night in Water Valley, and I remember Ken Topps just basically tearing it up, slinging the ball and running around. Heck of an athlete, and I think that's you said that was the year they went to state. So he played 3 years as quarterback, a dual threat quarterback there at Shannon. Right.
And suffered a catastrophic injury of sorts his junior year against Nettleton, had his leg broke above the knee.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the player, and I know him, and just you go brain dead when you're 60. but it was a player from Nettleton, a linebacker who eventually went and played pro ball, and a lot of people out there that are listening know who it is. Hit him. But anyway, Topps overcame that and was able to come back his senior year and play. And signed with Mississippi State. Things didn't work out down there for him. I think he's probably a little too small, a little too thin.
Yeah.
Went to ICC a year, played. Then went to Murray State a year and played. And then had another injury while he was at Murray State and decided just to give it up.
Okay. So as we mentioned, he was offensive coordinator under Mike Scott these past 4 years. So what does he bring to the table as a head coach, you think, Gene?
Well, offensively, Ken's going to spread the ball out. That's Mike Scott's trait, and that's a Ken Topps trait. So they're going to spread it out. Ken did say that they would try to achieve a little more balance with the running and the passing game. Of course, every coach will tell you that. They don't want to show their hand.
Yeah, 50-50, that's what we're going for.
We're balanced. You know, we used to do that in the football section. We go, coach, what kind of offense do you know, we'd want to put these little fax boxes and say, type offense, type defense. And they'd always
multiple.
Multiple.
Yeah.
So we figured enough of that.
Yeah. But, exactly. He's known for offense. And so Nettleton, perhaps, you know, we'll see them turn things up a little bit under Ken Topps. They've struggled in recent years, only 6 wins total over the last 2 seasons. The last winning season they had was in 09. You mentioned they went 6-5 that one year, but then lost in the playoffs, so finished at 500. This is a program, back when I was covering this beat, Gene, that was very strong, very competitive. Thinking back to, I think, the 07 team with Jamie Boland at quarterback was a strong team. I had some good teams there under Scott Cantrell, who was our coach of the year 1 year.
Correct,
in fact,
yeah.
I think it may have been 07, 06, somewhere in there. So this is a once proud program that's fallen on hard times, Gene. Kind of wonder what's it going to take to get them back?
Oh, I think, you know, it's just like Ken Topps was saying the other day when I interviewed him. He said, I've got to go to our youth, and we've got to get our junior high programs.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you have to start, and you get everybody involved in the program, and you keep kids in the program.
Yeah.
You know, Nettleton's pretty well-rounded athletic program there with their baseball and basketball and things. And it's a smaller school, and you want to have your best athletes out there. It can be done. Numerous coaches have gone there and won and had success. And like I said, Mike Scott won 6 games there, his second season.
Yeah.
And got Nettleton to the playoffs. And, so it's just really any program with the exception of South Panola has lulls.
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep winning on a consistent basis, but I think, Nettleton's always had athletes.
Yeah.
And I think Ken Topps, being younger, like Mike Scott said, it's a young man's game. He said Ken reminds him a lot of himself when he was that age. He's ready to go. He's young. He's enthusiastic.
Yeah.
You know, and he's looking forward to being a head coach. He's been an assistant. He worked with Pat Bird at Saltillo for 2 years.
Okay.
Worked 1 year for Chad Cook when Chad was coaching at Shannon, and then came with Mike to Nettleton 4 years ago.
So he's worked with some really good coaches.
He has, and it's time for him to be a head coach. And I'm glad, along with Mike, that they are giving Ken this opportunity.
Yeah, All right. Well, you can read that story Gene has coming in Thursday's Journal about Ken Topp's new head coach at Nettleton. Let's wrap up the show, Gene, with our regular weekly feature, Athletes of the Week. Every week we have a female athlete that we recognize for having an especially good week on the field or on the court, wherever. Let's start with the female athlete of the week, Gene.
Well, we'll go with Morrill's Hallie Donlin. We've been doing this show for the last 3 years. She probably would have been one of number of these awards. Hallie's just a good all-around player. She was pitching the other day against Boonville, pitched one hitter in 5 innings and struck out 9. Just very dominating.
Yeah. Hallie Donald of
and Morrill. Also a good stick.
Yeah, there you go. Male athlete.
Thomas Dillard hit a home run, big home run, had 3 hits last week when Oxford beat New Hope. The last night in Oxford's division win against Saltillo, he hit 2 home runs.
Wow.
And you can't mention Thomas Dillard without mentioning his teammate, Houston Roth, who struck out 16 batters.
That guy's good.
And Saltillo's a good team.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So he struck out 16.
So Thomas Dillard, male athlete of the week. So there you go. Congrats to them. And that's it for this week's episode. Again, follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Send us an email, PrepRally@JournalInc.com. You can follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Phelps. I'm there as well at Brad Locke. Also, be sure to check out a new episode of Double Coverage, our MSU and Ole Miss sports podcast with Paris Alford and Logan Lowry. New episode Thursday. Listen on iTunes, your podcast app, or doublecoverage.djournal.com. And of course, The Memo, our news and entertainment podcast, all things Northeast Mississippi with myself and Derek Russell. New episode coming today, in fact. You can listen to that on iTunes, your podcast app, or at memo.djournal.com. So that's it. We'll be back next week. Gene, you won't be here, though, will you?
I will not. Let me part with this. The annual Daily Journal Relays, and I need to look up what annual it is. It's 40-something.
Wow.
The Daily Journal Relays will not be this Saturday, but the next Saturday.
Okay.
And I'm going on vacation, but I will be back to cover the journal relay.
That's on the 9th.
The right.
Correct. Okay.
So we want people to forget that.
All right. Good deal. Well, I'll be back with somebody co-hosting next week. So until then, have a good one.